This is Anthony J. Hilder, and you're listening to The Light of Day. Sheldon, my friend and your host who brings you this broadcast, like hundreds of other patriots around the country, aren't doing it for the money. It costs them money to buy this time. They do this freely. They want to save this country, your family's freedom, and our world. Now, Sheldon and my friend Starr want you to know that 911 was an inside job. If you're beginning to believe that the World Trade Center attack was orchestrated by Osama bin Bush and the boys from the Brotherhood of Death rather than Osama bin Laden and some 19 Arabs, some of whom couldn't even drive a car, then you'll want to see and hear my film, 911, The Greatest Lie Ever Sold. By doing this, you'll get the rest of the story. Call Star at 661-323-0015 between 10 and 10. So write it down. Call Star at 661-323-0015 for the rest of the story, the true story on 911 and more.
Folks, welcome back to The Light of Day, coming to you live from the Sonora Desert in Tucson, Arizona. We're live Wednesday evening, April 25th, 2007. We have on the line Mark Phillips. Apparently, Kathy O'Brien will not be joining us tonight because she's tied up in another project right now. But anyway, are you there? Are you on the line, Mark?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Sheldon.
Hello, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, sir. I wish Kathy could be on. She's doing another show. She, you know, we originally thought the show would be over at 9, your time, or, yeah, our time, excuse me, Central Time. And she's doing another show right this minute.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because she's a main victim in all this mind control stuff. But anyway, what can you tell our audience about the Blacksburg, Virginia thing? I know you were a courier at one time to ship some type of top secret tapes into the Blacksburg area, and it was out of Ampex Corporation?
Well, I can't even go that far. What I can say is back in the 60s when the Vietnam War was heating up, I was drafted into the intelligence community, and I was also working and given a job with the Ampex Corporation out of Redwood City, California. This gave me plenty of access, and they started me out with just a secret clearance, and then it moved up as time progressed. But my role was that of a courier, if you want to call it that. I worked as an engineer for Ampex. I'm not an engineer, but nevertheless, I was guarding the integrity of the file tapes that were being done and on various projects, and it was not all mind control. It was everything from brain research to primate research at both of the Yerkes Primate Centers in Atlanta and one in Colorado. But my background was sufficient enough over the years up until the 80s that it gave me access to many of the places where Kathy O'Brien was victimized. And it also, of course, familiarized me on a personal level with many members of Congress, as well as many members of law enforcement, both state and federal, which proved to be very fortunate for us, because in 1988, I was running a business, a personal business that I had started with a fellow by the name of Alex Houston, who was who I believe was a country music entertainer, MC. He was a stage hypnotist, and he introduced small to large country music acts, and he had an idea of actually developing a joint venture company with the People's Republic of China, building giant capacitor banks to save their mining industry, because they were using more electricity than they could produce. So the capacitor systems would, of course, enable them to keep the mines open. And to shut a mine down is like shutting a glass or a steel plant down. It costs more to crank it back up. So they welcomed our ability to produce these things, and we were going to actually be producing them in China and selling them elsewhere. The joint venture company was done. It was named Uniphase Corporation, and we had a plant with almost 750,000 square feet that was built for us in the Shenzhen province, industrial province of southern China. At one point, after the ribbon-cutting ceremony, I was informed that my partner, Alex Houston, was involved in child and adult pornography, white slavery, drug running, and worst of all, the child and adult prostitution is punishable by death in China. But they also mentioned that he was involved in the CIA's drug operations and money laundering, and it went all the way to the White House. This is all in a book that we condensed our U.S. congressional testimony into a book called Transformation of America. It's in its 14th edition now, and in 10 languages, and soon 11. We're in 50 countries and so far with it, and without spending one dime on advertising, because we're U.S. government whistleblowers and we can't advertise or promote ourselves.
Now, Mark, what can you tell us about NASA mind control facilities, and do they have anything to do with our universities or institutions of higher learning?
I don't know of any of them that aren't affected. Depending on what government grants that they get from the Defense Department would really depend on which one is doing what at any given time. Emory University, which I can talk about because of most of the information is declassified. So the CDC, by the way, sits on the campus of Emory University, and so does the Yerkes Primate Center in Atlanta. They were involved in some very benevolent mind control research with primates, because at that time the Russians had an enormous catastrophe with one of their rockets. And they lost a bunch of astronauts, and NASA was afraid that we would have the same problem, so we had needed to back up, so they were going to train monkeys to pilot those craft, which fortunately never happened. But But that was the first behavior modification or mind control that I was exposed to, and it didn't involve any torture, and it was very benevolent, and I thought it was going to be a good thing because the scientists that I worked with, Sheldon, we all believed that by the year 2000 that our mental institutions and prisons would be pretty much emptied out because we could help the people, the hardened criminals, through a benevolent behavioral modification program to become, you know, good people and good citizens like they innately wanted to be. Because most people are innately good. This horrible thing that happened in Blacksburg, I mean, what gets me the most is I'm sitting here looking at the original police report that was written up by the campus police when his professor of creative writing took a six-page play that he had written that is absolutely insane and turned it over to campus police and said this guy needs to be psychologically and psychiatrically evaluated. So they sent him up to Christiansburg, Virginia, to a St. Albans hospital and evaluated. And the doctor there, who I'm trying to check out his credentials and everything else, said that he was an endangerment to himself and others, but he wouldn't commit him involuntarily. He recommended outpatient treatment. You don't recommend outpatient treatment, Sheldon, for someone who is an endangerment to themselves and others. You incarcerate them. But I'm getting off the subject of where I was going. In 1988, when I found this out about my partner, Alex Houston, I came back to this country. I was a president of the corporation. I came back to the country, and I bought Alex Houston out. I bought his stock out. And when I found out that his wife and this little girl that was not his, she was 7, I think, at the time, Kelly, were both victims of this character, and they were being used as drug mules, and they were under mind control, and it was being trauma-based mind control was what was being applied to them. That's the sadistic type, where they use blood traumas, and they use constant tortures, high voltage, this sort of thing. I elected to help them get out, and when I found out that the Chinese were actually telling me the truth, that this fellow was connected all the way to the White House, because I didn't believe it. When I turned that information over to then head of customs, William Von Raab, who, by the way, publicly resigned his cabinet-appointed position as head of customs, because he said, right after he investigated our case, because he said publicly he could not fight a war against his own government, and he was speaking about the so-called drug wars. But then in 1988, after I got him out, I couldn't find anybody that could treat him, either one of them. Kathy O'Brien didn't even know her own name. And her little daughter, Kelly, was just, literally pinging off the walls. So I took them to Alaska and had our case investigated through customs and through my own resources and within the intelligence community that I maintained. And I developed a case strong enough to present through a friend of mine who was a member of Congress, Bob Clement. He was a junior member at the time. Now he's a senior member. He was kind enough to help me by taking the stuff to the appropriate people within Congress. And our case was stopped in court under the 1947 National Security Act. When they invoked the National Security Act on us, our lawyers advised us to condense our testimony, and we had one former U.S. federal judge that was kind enough to throw his help in there, and they went through, 40,000 pages of documentation, and and wound up condensing it, condensing our testimony down to something that was legible and understandable and legal. And we published it in a book, and I didn't think I'd live to see the light of day when that thing hit the streets in 1995. But not only have we survived all the court hearings, and we did manage to get before the UN twice. And by the way, the UN treated us very nicely, believe it or not, even though they did absolutely nothing. But there are people, there are good people inside the UN, just like there are good people inside the intelligence community. And I know of three people in, inside of Congress out of almost 500 that are good. But the fact remains is their case was never properly adjudicated. No help was ever given. They stripped me of everything that I had financially. They thought that they would shut us up. We're not going to shut up, and thanks to good people like you, we're able to get this message out.
Now, were folks like Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton and the Bush family, are they aware of these mind control programs?
Yes, they're all named in Transformation of America, and if everything in Transformation of America that has been footnoted or can that is a matter of public record can easily be documented. Now, we wrote a second book, which is the basis of a motion picture, full-feature motion picture that's being done as we speak, or being scripted as we speak. It's called Access Denied for Reasons of National Security. And if anybody goes to our website, all they have to do is type in forreasonsofnationalsecurity.com.
Oh, I haven't heard that. That's a movie that's in the making. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's taken many, many years because, see, Transformation of America is a legal whistleblower's book, and we could not sell our life rights on Transformation of America. Otherwise, the government would stop it instantly, and they have every right to do so, plus prosecute us. So there's no way we could. We had to self-publish the thing, and we still do. Of course, our foreign publishers are licensed, but they're not U.S. publishers, so they can do anything they want to. But Access Denied for Reasons of National Security begins in 1988, and it is totally 100% documented, even with probably about 1,500 hours of audio tape that we made of every court appearance, every conversation, even our own conversations, Kathy's and mine, when we were traveling certain areas. And one of those areas was that we were passing through was Blacksburg, Virginia. And that's covered in, there's a whole chapter devoted to it, but it's
yeah, page 160 or 161, I think.
That's one of them. But it runs... hold on a minute, and I'll tell you the chapter. Pandora's Box, chapter 23. I mean, there's a whole chapter
devoted to it. That's out of the first book.
No, sir. That's out of Access Denied.
Oh, okay.
But nevertheless, what we got with Access Denied, we were told by the Motion Picture House, either we wrote the book or they would write it. And, of course, they can't write what we lived, so we wrote it. And we don't omit names. We don't omit anything. There's no names omitted out of Transformation of America, of course, because that's a matter of public record. It was testimony we provided both houses of Congress, the Intelligence Oversight Committees, both in the House and the Senate, and the Judiciary Committee. But Access Denied is the one that goes into all the inner workings of that happened at DARPA at Blacksburg, Virginia, that Kathy was exposed to.
Now, do you think that some of these mind control programs, how come they only affect some folks and not others?
How do you mean?
Well, like if they're using Project HARP to use mind control on the population, how come only some people are affected and not others?
I don't know that all of us aren't affected to some degree by HARP. HARP is not HARP. What we know about HARP is that HARP can create apathy, for one thing, and it can create in a large area of populations. It can also create fear. It can also, you know, it impacts the emotions rather than the logic centers. To me, Sheldon, HARP is one of the most dangerous experiments, if you want to call it that, or applications our government has ever been involved with. And it's terrifying because of its implications, not only for the environment, but for people's thinking. And I'm not so sure that it doesn't affect everybody to some degree. But there are varying levels of mind control, Sheldon, from information control in our schools and in our schools of higher learning particularly. You know, if you look at a history book, an American history book, say, from the early 1940s, and look at one now, they're barely comparable. I mean, that's a form of mind control. That's information control, but it's still a form of mind control. And the conditioning that is done by the medias here, I mean, you of all people know that. It's mind-boggling, pardon the pun, that so many people fall prey to what these talking heads on some of these major so-called news media shows have to say. And for one thing, if you listen close, they all contradict each other, particularly when they're releasing a major story. And this one in Blacksburg, I'll give you a scenario that's possible, but certainly not anything that I could endorse as being true. When somebody as mentally unstable as this young man was shows up in a mental institution nearby, it's not unfathomable that his condition would not be taken advantage of while he's in there, because you can create what is known as a sleeper, or someone that you can activate at any time you need them, quite easily, particularly if they're suffering from various mental illnesses, as he was. I'm not qualified to label him with any particular mental disorder, but I think it's pretty clear to most people that the guy was what most people would think as a paranoid schizophrenic. He really believed that the whole world was after him, and reading that diatribe, that play that he wrote, the man should have been locked up on the spot. But he was taken to a mental institution, but that doctor who released him has got 32 souls on his soul, as far as I'm concerned. That doctor should have had to forfeit his license. And I think probably that the victims' families are going to go after that guy with everything they got. At least I hope they do. At least to get his license away from him, because he shouldn't be practicing.
Yeah, we'll follow up on that topic right after the commercial break. We're at the bottom of the hour right now, Mark.
All right, sir.
We'll stay tuned for about 3 or 4 minutes. You're listening to The Light of Day, folks, coming to you live from the Sonora Desert in Tucson, Arizona. We're live Wednesday evening, April 25th, 2000, and we'll be back in just a few minutes, so please stay tuned, folks.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities, and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the
This is Sheldon Day, host of the Light of Day radio show. Are you looking for the best alternative news network out there? Go to republicbroadcasting.org for real news, real talk, real people, and no BS, with featured hosts including Frank Whalen, Rick Adams, Frosty Woldridge, Greg Szymanski, Mark Dankoff, Robbie Noel, Derry Brown, Jack McLam, Steve Shank, John Moore, and a whole lot more, with hosts gradually being reintroduced into the network. Republic Broadcasting is also available on C-band satellite Galaxy 1R and Telstar 5 KU band, and also four frequencies on your shortwave dial. Thank you, Mr. John Stattmiller, for bringing one of the best alternative news networks to the market and keeping it in its existence. Again, real news, real talk, real people, and no BS. RepublicBroadcasting.org.
This is Anthony J. Hilder, and you're listening to The Light of Day. Sheldon, my friend and your host who brings you this broadcast, like hundreds of other patriots around the country, aren't doing it for the money. It costs them money to buy this time. They do this freely. They want to save this country, your family's freedom, and our world. Now, Sheldon and my friend Starr want you to know that 911 was an inside job. If you're beginning to believe that the World Trade Center attack was orchestrated by Osama bin Bush and the boys from the Brotherhood of Death rather than Osama bin Laden and some 19 Arabs, some of whom couldn't even drive a car, then you'll want to see and hear my film, 911, The Greatest Lie Ever Sold. By doing this, you'll get the rest of the story. Call Star at 661-323-0015 between 10 and 10. So write it down. Call Star at 661-323-0015 for the rest of the story, the true story on 911, and more.
You're listening to The Light of Day, coming to you live Wednesday evening, April 25th, 2007, live from the Sonora Desert in Tucson, Arizona. We're on the phone right now talking to Mark Phillips, who has helped write a book called Transformation of America and Access Denied for Reasons of National Security. Hello, Mark. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Sheldon. And again, Kathy and I deeply appreciate the opportunity to get this information out to your listeners. We feel like we know everybody out there, when in fact our ad agency says that only about 15 million people in the United States know who we are and what we're doing and why we're doing it. So there's a whole lot more folks we need to reach, and I appreciate this opportunity. Yeah, I wish Kathy could be with us. She's doing another show on the other line.
Yeah, I'm very honored to have you on tonight, Mark. Now, I was wondering, who exactly is stealing our children, and are any of them being held in underground facilities against their will, or possibly on bases on other worlds like the Moon or Mars?
I honestly can't talk about anything unless it's validated. Yes, children have disappeared. As a matter of fact, they stopped the milk carton program because there were too many of them. And as far as these children disappearing as being stolen, let me just start here. A child's brain is formed by age 5, so it is. If a person is going to program a child and literally have someone they can utilize for the rest of that person's normal lifespan, it really should, the base program should be put in before age 5. After that, it becomes extraordinarily difficult to program the person. So far as what I knew, when I got out of that arena of knowledge some years back, the fact is, some of these children that are disappearing are winding up in Chinese, or not Chinese, let me rephrase that. They're winding up in brothels in Japan, and they're winding up in brothels in other places. There's a lot of throwaway children, a lot of kids that are on the streets because their parents either can't afford to feed them or take care of them, or they have just wandered away from their homes because of horrible abuse. As far as children being actually taken and snatched off the streets, I'm sure this has probably happened many times. I don't know about it being any particular government project, because of the fact that Kathy O'Brien, for instance, and her siblings, her father, who had a sixth grade education and was a worm digger for local fishermen in Michigan, this guy suddenly is now one of the largest military industrial supply subcontractors. He makes camshafts for everything that the military runs on, with a sixth grade education, because of his relationship with the former Gerald Ford. All of that information is in sworn testimony before Congress, and it's in Transformation of America. And the fact is, to answer your question, Kathy's family sold her into it, so she didn't really have a choice. And I know of hundreds and hundreds of other cases where their families sold them into it. I mean, literally sold their own kids into the project. So I wouldn't really see a huge need to start stealing kids out of hospitals or babies out of hospitals or off the streets. I'm not saying that this couldn't happen, but so far as anything that I know is being factual, I know of all the other avenues how these kids are used and where they come from, and they're not coming from kidnappings by white van with painted windows. I don't have any knowledge of that. It'd be incredible. But I do know the fact that so many children are being used, and these, we've had 5 U.S. presidents state that the MK Ultra program and or any of the number of names that have the MK Ultra program evolved in. By the way, the MK Ultra program began in earnest in 1952, and thanks to former Senator Frank Church in 1977, it came to light because of a Canadian psychiatrist, who, by the way, was the founding father for the American Psychiatric Association. Dr. Ewan Cameron, who happened to work for the Central Intelligence Agency and was 100% funded by the CIA, and he was running behavioral project program in a Canadian hospital when all this actually broke out in 1976 and 77. Well, some of those cases were finally settled, and most of the survivors are deceased now, but they got literally nothing to even pay for their legal fees, and the law firms that represented them lost millions of dollars in their pursuit of attempting to get the government to stop these mind control projects. When now, and listen, Sheldon, you and I both know mind control is now the number one mass weapon of choice of every nation on this planet. Unfortunately, this is our prediction came true when we testified before Congress that it was going to become a weapon of mass destruction, and we use those words, thank goodness, because of the fact that these ongoing projects were being taught by the CIA to other governments all over the planet. I mean, we trained bin Laden. We trained a lot of these people that we're now fighting, who are programming little children and young adults who've lived in poverty all their lives and have no other outlet. They've lost the one thing that humanity can't live without, and that's hope. And they get these kids, and they literally reform their minds to believe that if they blow themselves up, they get 72 virgins or whatever, and their families will get $25,000. The fact is that's mind control, Sheldon, and it's mind control, and they're using these people as a almost invisible weapon.
My research has also uncovered that weather warfare is also pretty darn close to one of the weapons being used against the population right now.
I think so, too. Of course, that's out of my realm. I'm only interested in it, but I've seen too many things, and I know too many meteorologists. I've got a friend of mine in Alaska who retired from the U.S. Government Weather Bureau, and this person has told me repeatedly that they are terrified of the weather modification programs that are now being used. Of course, you know, we have a treaty stating we're not going to use them, but we also have other treaties that we say we're not going to use. But you realize that every country that has a peace treaty with the United States, every citizen in it is subject to the same National Security Act law that we are here, and that if the government abuses you and your family and you go to court, they can slap the National Security Act on your case, and you have no, absolutely no way to adjudicate your case. And if you live in Canada, same thing. If you live in England, same thing. And the list goes down along every country that's got a peace treaty with the United States. It plainly states that the National Security Act is applicable to that country's citizenry.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's scary stuff. And when you introduce all the technologies that DARPA, which, by the way, has a underground facility, which is now public knowledge, in Blacksburg, Virginia, just a stone's throw away from that college or that technical college that shooter came from. Just because he's in that proximity doesn't necessarily make him guilty because of his local environment, but it sure does raise a lot of questions in my mind because of the fact that the day that this guy did all these shootings preceded the week that was they were hearing an abortion hearing. They had the Gonzalez hearings. Other things going on, one other that's major importance I seem to forget. But also, with the Democrats coming in, a few of them, like Kennedy, want gun control laws, and what better opportunity than to have a catastrophe like this and to use it to take the guns away from every citizen, law-abiding citizen in this country.
And that's what I believe the agenda is about of the New World Order, most definitely. Now, do you think there's also...
Yes, I agree.
Do you think there's any connection between the Virginia Tech shooting and this shooting down at the Johnson Space Center in Houston? Because that's a NASA facility, and NASA and DARPA are somewhat interconnected.
They're totally interconnected. And as a matter of fact, at Space Camp, which is in Huntsville, which is nearby, I was absolutely, we were in the Salvation, we'd taken some stuff to the Salvation Army recently, and I noticed that this kid was holding up a T-shirt that said Space Camp DARPA. And I thought, what? What? And I tried my best to talk the kid out of the shirt and found out that you can go to any NASA facility and buy them yourself. DARPA seems to have intertwined itself with NASA and their so-called Space Camp for kids. And if you see those kids, as I do all the time, arriving on the aircrafts, they look like children from families of means, and most of them have pupillary dilation, which is an indication of post-traumatic stress disorder. And anybody that has that is prime candidate for mind control. Well, the fact is, you're quite correct, DARPA and NASA has a connection, but as far as my knowing anything or even having a clue that this hostage situation that occurred at NASA had anything to do with mind control, I don't know anything about it. The only thing I know is the guy's name was Phillips, which is not a good thing, because people, I've had probably 20 emails asking me if I was related to him. No. But as far as it being enjoined with this Blacksburg situation, it seemed a little odd that it would be a NASA facility, and it seemed a little more odd that it involved a fellow who killed a hostage. And it all happened at the same time that they're clamoring for more gun laws or literally to strip us of our weapons to protect ourselves.
Have you heard of a guy out there named Leo Wanta? Do you know anything about him?
No, never heard of him. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know much about him either, but I know he's somehow connected with these like laundering of money into our country, and he's somebody.
Leo who?
Leo Wanta.
No, sir. I'm sorry.
No.
There's so many. I mean, if you know, in 1995, there were 55,000 CIA operatives working in this country. Now, I would venture to say that 95 or 96% of them will say didn't have a clue they were working for the CIA. And these people were anything from owning people that own small businesses to drug dealers. But nevertheless, they were CIA operatives, and the CIA was using them, and not against their will. To imagine, we got 50 states, and that's more than 1,000 people per state that's out there on the street that's doing the CIA's bidding. And that number is probably quintupled by now. That's a terrifying thing, when in fact the CIA is not supposed to even operate on U.S. soil.
Yeah, it's truly scary, that's for sure.
And they have offices in every federal office building. And you know, you mentioned a while ago our institutions of higher learning. When we brought all the Nazi and fascist scientists over after World War II that were supposedly, we had to do it under Project Paperclip because if we didn't do it, the Russians were going to get them, and these were rocket scientists and propulsion scientists. Only a handful of them were rocket and propulsion scientists, and they were all SS, which the Pentagon swore to Congress that none of them were SS, and they were all SS. When they brought these guys in, there were 790 of them, and 712, I believe, was the number, were mind scientists. And they placed them in every one of our institutions of higher learning and our, and all of our major corporations, technology corporations. So, I mean, I talked to Margaret Truman before she died, and she told me that her dad said to her, the gravest thing that he ever did was to sign the 1947 National Security Act. He said he was hornswoggled or taken advantage of or lied to, and he said that it would eventually destroy this country, bringing the Nazis in. And that's what we're seeing now is the result of Project Paperclip.
Well, there's also another, when I was reading Transformation of America, there's something in there that really bothered me and stuck in my mind. It says in there that Kathy O'Brien was raped by Dick Cheney when he was a senator out in Wyoming. Can you tell our audience about that?
I really can't discuss any of that. That's, again, I'm a U.S. government whistleblower, and I can't talk about anything that Kathy O'Brien experienced.
But it's in her book, though.
She can talk about it. Sir?
It's in her book, though. It
yes,
talks
sir,
about
absolutely it is. It's in her testimony, and it is in and it is in detail in Transformation of America.
Okay. Well,
and if we were lying, we would be in jail. Period. I mean, you do not lie to Congress and be found in contempt without going to prison.
That's correct. Yeah. Well, anything else you want to tell the public before we come up to the top of the hour? I'm going to have to go here in about 5 or 6 minutes.
Well, only that they research everything they hear. And thank goodness for the Internet, and thank goodness for people like you that are putting information out there that they can research on their own. And believe me, the answers are out there because the bad guys are so arrogant, they don't mind putting the truth out there in documents that are highly accessible by any individual. They don't care anymore, Sheldon. And as a result of that, I think that the people need to know, and they need to know now, what is the most important thing, and that is the sanctity of their minds, and they need to know how to protect themselves. And the first way they can learn is, I would suggest a condensed version because we published the book, is to read for reasons of, Access Denied for Reasons of National Security. And they can get the thing by simply going to our website, www.forreasonsofnationalsecurity.com, or they can call 1-800-656-3597. And if they can't afford a book, or if they can't, if they're financially unable to buy a book, then contact us directly by email or by letter, and we will be happy to send them a damaged copy free of charge.
Sounds good. what else was I going to ask you? My mind just went blank on me.
It's harp.
Yeah, we were pretty fortunate tonight that the show got reestablished here, because I figure the powers to be would want to interfere with the show, but we are streaming live on the Internet right now still.
Well, it's a heartbreaker that Kathy couldn't be on, but I definitely appreciate the opportunity to stand in her place this time. She's really the one. She wrote both books. I'm sitting under the Sedition Act, and I can't talk about anything that I was involved with unless it has been declassified. But I did appreciate the opportunity to talk to your audience tonight about mind control and all of its various forms, from information control to the programming that our TVs are doing to us.
When will your security level classification be demoted so you can talk more about things?
Well, I don't have a security clearance now, of course, but as far as my information goes, my files are sealed. One of them is until 2012, and the other one until 2052, which I won't be here when it's undone. But nevertheless, the information that Kathy O'Brien has put out certainly covers a heck of a lot more area than I was ever exposed to. I never saw any torture. I never saw anyone being electrocuted or any of those sort of things. What I saw was being used was psychological behavior modification programs involving hypnosis, involving drugs, involving a number of things. But these people that there were subjects. They were either monkeys or other forms of apes, or they were people in prisons that volunteered for it, or in mental institutions for the rest of their life, and they did it so that they could have more privileges while they were in a prison or a mental institution. But at any rate, Kathy O'Brien never volunteered, and neither did her daughter.
What is the current status on Kathy's daughter, Kelly, right now?
Well, Kelly lives a very modest existence with what we can afford to support her. She's of course, free of the system and has been since she's 18. She's with friends, and she still can't be around her mother without going into respiratory arrest. She can be around her for short periods of time, and they talk on the phone virtually every day. And Kelly is maintaining, but she still can't focus long enough to hold down a job or do anything. She can't, you know, she's an artist, and she can't even do her artwork properly. It's a very sad existence, although Kelly is a very happy person. She's a brilliant young lady, and she's a very sweet and kind person, and one that I am seeking justice for until the day I die.
Well, Mark, I wanted to really thank you for being on the show tonight. We're coming up to the top of the hour, and I'd like to have you and possibly Kathy back sometime in the future.
All right. Next time, we'll have Kathy back.
Sounds good. Well, thanks a lot for joining me tonight, Mark.
Thank you, sir. And if you give out that 800 number again, I'd appreciate it. 1-800-656-3597, I believe.
3597. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to check it.
Yeah,
yes,
go ahead.
Thank you, sir. That's correct.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mark. Thanks for being on the Light of Day show.
I enjoyed it very much, Sheldon. Thank you, my friend.
Talk to you later.
Good night.
Okay, folks, that was Mark Phillips, who's talking about the mind control programs in the United States. We're going to be joined here in a few minutes after the top of the hour with UFO Bob, going on the fringe with UFO Bob. We're running over our time here tonight because I was having technical difficulties with my digital phone hybrid making a strange sound, which it's done in the past. It's just a matter of plugging it right into the right power outlet or rebooting the... Or it even could have been my Vonage phone adapter. I rebooted my Vonage adapter and got everything straightened back out. So we're coming to you live from the Sonora Desert in Tucson, Arizona. It's 8 p.m. Pacific time. And we'll be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned, folks.
Drawn the line. Ooh.
This is Sheldon Day, host of the Light of Day radio show. Are you looking for the best alternative news network out there? Go to republicbroadcasting.org for real news, real talk, real people, and no BS, with featured hosts including Frank Whalen, Rick Adams, Frosty Woldridge, Greg Szymanski, Mark Dankoff, Robbie Noel, Derry Brown, Jack McLam, Steve Shank, John Moore, and a whole lot more, with hosts gradually being reintroduced into the network. Republic Broadcasting is also available on C-band satellite Galaxy 1R and Telstar 5 KU band, and also four frequencies on your shortwave dial. Thank you, Mr. John Stattmiller, for bringing one of the best alternative news networks to the market and keeping it in its existence. Again, real news, real talk, real people, and no BS. RepublicBroadcasting.org.
This is Anthony J. Hilder, and you're listening to The Light of Day. Sheldon, my friend, and your host who brings you this broadcast, like hundreds of other patriots around the country, aren't doing it for the money. It costs them money to buy this time. They do this freely. They want to save this country, your family's freedom, and our world. Now, Sheldon and my friend Starr want you to know that 911 was an inside job. If you're beginning to believe that the World Trade Center attack was orchestrated by Osama bin Bush and the boys from the Brotherhood of Death rather than Osama bin Laden and some 19 Arabs, some of whom couldn't even drive a car, then you'll want to see and hear my film, 911, The Greatest Lie Ever Sold. By doing this, you'll get the rest of the story. Call Star at 661-323-0015 between 10 and 10. So write it down. Call Star at 661-323-0015 for the rest of the story, the true story on 911, and more.
It's here. After a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Folks, you're listening to The Light of Day, coming to you live from the Sonora Desert in Tucson, Arizona. We're live Wednesday evening, April 25th, 2007. It's 5 minutes after 8 o'clock in the Pacific time zone. We're going to go on the fringe now with UFO Bob. Hello, Bob. Welcome to the light of day.
Good evening, Sheldon. Tonight I'm going to bring out what will start next week. I'm going to send Sheldon some pictures I have taken out of the Mariner 9 book and some other books that have pictures from our probes up to Mars. And some are in color, and some are just black and white. And the first one will be next week. Sheldon will give you his website. And after that, you can pick them up. Now, some of these pictures later on, you can get them on your computer, and you can then take them and frame them. Some of them are suitable to be framed. I have one painting on Mars that I did, including some of the carvings on Mars, that I pasted onto the picture and blended it in. So you have authentic pictures from Mars on this interpretation of mine of Mars. It's called The Witch of Mars. The original painting is going to be sent down to Gary, Indiana. A guy bought it from me down there. He was up here at the UFO conference we had, and bought it from me, and he bought it from me a couple of years ago, and about time I sent it down to him. He may come up here again this year, then I'll wait and he'll pick up here. Now, there'll be other colored paintings also, and these are suitable to be framed. If they come out all right, you have a good computer, and they come out all right, and you can get a frame for it, one of these little golden frames, and I'll have every week a different painting and a different thing that I've taken out of the books out of the library on Mars. The first one you get will be a carving. It's either on the side of a cliff or it's on the floor of the Mars itself. I don't know how they do this stuff. I haven't figured it out. I'm an artist. I cannot figure how they did some of this stuff. This is a picture, I'd say, of a woman, maybe about 50 feet in length. She's a nude and has some osmer, gossamer clothes on her. And she has a beautiful figure. She's quite a good-looking gal. Some people have seen her and said, it looks like an Indian gal. And I said, yeah, that makes sense. A lot of Indians claim that they're ancestors came from the planet Mars. Anyway, you tell your friends about this, and then a week after next, you'll be able to get them, or a couple days after next Wednesday, you'll be able to pick them up. Tell your friends about it, and it don't cost you nothing, and you've got yourself a pretty nice picture. I've got some other pictures, like I said. One is a carving, three-dimensional, of animal that I used to know the length. It's over 100 feet in length. It's big, and it's a perfect example of a good carving. This thing was good, and it has a body somewhat like a beaver. The body is white, with creases in its skin, its wrinkles in its fat, like a beaver. And then it has a flat, big beaver tail. Then it has, its legs are short, heavy little legs with webbed feet with claws on the end of each toe in the end of the appendage of that foot. And it has a face on it. The face is black. The legs, the short little stubby web legs, they are black. It's a beautiful thing, and the face is somewhat like a lion. That's the only resemblance I can see. Another one is of an animal looks something like some kind of cattle, except its face is identical to a lop-eared goat. Now, none of these pictures are anything that you're going to have to use your imagination in. These are works of art, and they've never been shown to us. I don't think so. I've asked what's his first name?
Ted Tweetmeyer.
What's his first name?
Ted.
Oh, that's right. Tweetmeyer.
Hey, Bob, I had an article here I wanted to read you quick and then get your comments.
Yeah,
on
go ahead.
Dennis Kucinich announces impeachment charges against Vice President Cheney. After a series of delays late in the day on Wednesday, Representative Dennis Kucinich, a candidate for president next year, announced a series of charges against Vice President Dick Cheney in Washington, D.C. Kucinich alleged that the vice president had committed a series of impeachable offenses and stated that he was therefore introducing articles of impeachment against Cheney in the Congress today. Quote, whenever any government official becomes destructive of the founding purposes, that official must be held accountable. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah. He also said, like the Senate said, that Cheney was the attack dog for Bush, meaning Cheney is aggressive, and he may have been one of the instrumental things in Bush having this terrific urge to go to war for no reason whatsoever, other than he had an excuse with 9/11, with these buildings being tumbled down by the aircraft flying into them.
You know, my past guest, the guest I just interviewed, Mark Phillips, I asked him about Kathy O'Brien being raped by Dick Cheney when he was a senator out in Wyoming, and Mark said that he couldn't talk about it because that's Kathy's testimony, so he couldn't really say anything about it.
Kathy's testimony, meaning that...
Kathy
would testify against him. Huh?
Yeah, Mark has to be careful what he says on the air because he's still under some type of secrecy oath. If he's, or wait a minute, he said if I can't remember what he said, but if he said he's lies by accident or something, that he could get in a lot of trouble, so he couldn't say nothing about it.
Kathy was going to take Daddy Bush to court one time.
Kathy was going to be on my show tonight, but I had these technical difficulties and I couldn't get on the air quick enough. So, and then she got tied up in some typing project or something, so she couldn't come on anymore then.
Well, last week I talked about this thing, what you're talking about now, and I said that the thing called the Pandora's box, this box, if it lid has ever opened. When people become aware of what happened during 9/11, I don't know what's going to happen. It may be, this is just my thought, I haven't heard of any place, but Bush might want to start up something before his term is over. And this would be horrible if anything like this would happen. I just don't think that he knows what he's doing. I mean, like a lot of people. I'm not saying something now that's out of place whatsoever. Everybody's saying it. I mean, I've heard it today on C-SPAN. I heard it tonight on the Bill Moyer show. And he may want to do this, that if there's a catastrophe, and I have this, there goes everything. The thing about this angel that was, I said this about five times already, but a lot of you people didn't hear it. There was an angel that was shot down over Iraq, wounded. She was brought to a hospital. She was healed. She healed very fast. Incidentally, when he took her pulse rate was one beat per minute. Anyway, The nature of the angel's mission remains unknown. She refuses to talk to anyone except L. Paul Brenner III, America's head honcho, so to speak, in Iraq. And there's other people that are listed here who were involved in this, big shot generals and the whole thing. This thing really did happen. Now, the thing about angels flying over Iraq, that's a biblical land. Catholic priests, I have an article on it also, a Catholic priest said that, yeah, it's very common to see angels over Iraq. Now, some people say the angel is here to warn the U.S. to get out of Iraq before something terrible happens, which I believe could happen, reveals a reliable source, a White House source. And then there's another quote, President Bush, who's been a firm believer in angels for many years, thinks the being was probably coming to tell Brenner, the chief honcho there in Iraq, that the U.S. is doing a terrific job in Iraq and to keep up the good work. Well, I'm sure that's a bunch of BS to compensate Bush's uneasiness about this thing in Iraq. The thing is that she did heal, in case some of the people were wondering or didn't get this. Yeah, she healed up and she left. And what is the strange things that are happening really now, right now, you heard about Imus losing his job, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, well, Imus was not fired because he had a little fun with the girls on a basketball team. Word got out that he was about ready to spill the beans on 9/11. And bingo, he was fired. Now, the other strange thing is that, aside from him, Rosie McDonald, that's Donald Trump's girlfriend, she, well, you know, that's the one he's been feuding with. She was also talking about 9/11. She got fired. You heard about that. Was it yesterday?
I can't remember what day that happened.
Yeah, well, but yeah. Now, she was talking about 9/11. Now, there are people that are talking quite regularly. Another guy is Alex Jones. And he don't have any trouble. I'm glad he don't. But I think if he were on big radio network, I think he'd be thrown off. And the thing is, you might wonder how I feel about 9/11. Well, I'll tell you this much right now. There's nobody going to tell me the 747, which is a little smaller than 757, could have flown in that hole in the Pentagon. Now, nobody's going to tell me that. And there was, we don't see many shots of that perimeter there around where that airplane went in. We don't see much laying on the ground there at all. And the way it came down, this thing, whatever hit the Pentagon, I know of an airline pilot who was into this, and he said it was one of these things called a Hawk. That's a remote control device. This guy is named O'Connelly, I believe. And he's still an airline pilot. And he said those airplanes were remotely flown into the Pentagon. That was a small little Hawk. And into the towers. And he said when they got into the towers there, the feel they had on there, and that's what scientists are saying all over who know about metallurgy, there was not enough heat there to burn those pillars holding up the tower. It just wasn't there. So there's something wrong with the whole thing, but I'm surprised how it can be kept so quiet. Oh, yeah, you hear it once in a while, but you'll never hear it on big network news. You'll never hear Bush commenting about it.
Bob, that McConnell guy you're talking about, he was interviewed on Ian Punnett's show back on March 3rd.
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I heard him. And very interesting. But this is the thing. I'm a little bit apprehensive about this whole thing. Because something about this whole thing about our administration, certain factors of it, factions of our administration, they're hell-bent of going in there and taking a dangerous chance there again. Because this war did not turn out at all. Nothing turned out good. When we get all these soldiers in there again, I don't know. It doesn't look good. There's another thing that was in the news. This was Tillman. This was the guy that, he was a football player. I forget for what team that was. Maybe you know. Anyway, Tillman, he wanted to be a real patriotic, you know, and a real macho man, and he signed up to go to Iraq. Well, he was shot over there in a couple of days, and it was friendly fire. Now, a guy that he was a friend of over there, that he was out on going out for some attack or something on.